Back together again, you and I sitting down for a chat on Monday, September the 18th, 2023 on Connecticut Today. We, of course, talked about the latest absentee ballot controversy in the city of Bridgeport. We also heard from Only in Bridgeport blogger Lenny Grimaldi and former Bridgeport Democratic State Rep Chris Caruso on that same ballot news. And Connecticut news junkie and Substack columnist Terry Cowgill stopped by for his latest update. I don't know if you've jumped on the streaming service video thing. You know, there's all these services you can have now. Not just services to get your regular channels, but all these ancillary services like Peacock, for example. I signed up for Peacock so I could watch primarily Notre Dame football and NFL on NBC without having to go, you know, a full subscription to cable. At one time or another, I've had Paramount Plus. That's the CBS service. Apple Plus is out there. Apple TV Plus, outstanding stuff. So you have all these streaming services, right, out there that are competing as people are now cutting the cord. You know, cable's going away. Traditional cable, they say, the experts say, oh, that's all dying. So it's a little confusing now. Where's the game on? Oh, it's on Peacock. It's on Paramount. I have that. I don't have that. ESPN, ESPN Plus. Well, All these streaming services, they try to differentiate themselves. What's the big thing? Like Paramount Plus is where all the new Star Trek series are. Netflix, they do a lot of cutting-edge documentary stuff. Tom Hanks has a contract with Apple. Well, if you're a streaming service that's trying to, I don't know, stand out, whichever streaming service, Apple TV Plus, Hulu Stream, Netflix, Paramount Plus, Peacock, whichever one of those services does a miniseries, maybe a 10 or a 12 episode miniseries, and titles it simply, all you need is one word, and some people will get it and some people won't. But all you need is one word. And I could see the advertising scheme right now, the campaign right now. This fall, it's a startling new streaming series on Peacock, and it's one word: Bridgeport. That's all you need, because it writes itself. Seriously. Somebody at NBC, they run Peacock, or ABC, who runs Hulu, or CBS, who runs Paramount Plus. Seriously, do it like a 10 or a 12 part streaming series, and just title it Bridgeport. Now, Paramount Plus has one kind of that way. It's called Tulsa King. It's about Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Sly Stallone. They dispatch him out there to cut up the territory. I'm not going that far. But imagine, because Bridgeport would write itself every day in the news. You wouldn't need script writers. You could have AI script writers. You wouldn't need real people. You wouldn't need union writers, the folks who are on strike now in the Writers Guild of America. You wouldn't need them. AI, artificial intelligence, could write the new streaming series on Netflix, Bridgeport. This from our buddy, our pal Brian Lockhart, Hearst, Connecticut Media. City police say they're continuing to investigate as more municipal security video from the government center has been posted online. Have you seen this? It ain't hard to find. A video was posted online Friday, and this hit just as we were getting off the air on Friday, I think, that appeared to show a woman. Now, I'm going to say this going forward. There's a lot of conjecture on who that woman is. We're not going to mention it on this show. I think that's patently unfair. And if you mention the woman's name, we're going to dump that part of the conversation. Just trying to be fair here, trying to protect our legal arses here, all right? So we're not going to condemn anybody, but a lot of people say, oh, that's... There's allegations in the video. You can read the allegations in the video. That's fine. We're not going to go there here. The video was posted online Friday, appearing to show a woman placing items in a ballot box outside the Margaret E. Morton Government Center. Bridgeport mayoral candidate John Gomes' campaign posted more footage on Saturday as part of a social media election advertisement. Now, what's the city saying here? Now, there's a bunch of different angles here. There's what is this woman doing? Is this ostensibly being done with absentee ballots? How was this video obtained? Because I guess that's a big question now as well. Scott Appleby, the city's director of emergency management and a spokesperson for the police, saying, quote, right now there's an active investigation occurring and we do not want to compromise the integrity of that investigation. That was his response to Hearst Connecticut Media. The Bridgeport police will be reviewing all information. Appleby, again, according to Hearst, declining to say whether the police department was previously aware of the video contained in that Gomes advertisement or if the woman who appears in the footage has been interviewed. The plot thickens, boys and girls. Now, again, you have what the woman is allegedly doing, whether or not she's been interviewed. And the big question now is, was there a breach in the video system itself? And if it was that criminal in any nature? Appleby saying Friday the city's investigating a, quote, possible breach to our security video management system, unquote, regarding how the footage was obtained and leaked to the public. Campaign representatives for John Gomes say they've already filed a complaint Friday with the State Elections Enforcement Commission regarding the municipal security camera footage. The campaign shared a copy of a notarized complaint with Hearst Media. An SEEC spokesperson saying Saturday the agency cannot confirm or deny the receipt of such a complaint. Now, if you watch the video here and you get the impression of what might be going on and there are specific laws that I guess will be looked at if, in fact, those are absentee ballots of the such being handled in that video. The timestamp on the videos indicates they were taken during the early morning hours of September 5, Tuesday, September 5, a little under 2 weeks ago, which was 1 week before the September 12th primary. The first of the videos was posted on social media Friday night, says Hearst here in Brian Lockhart's story, showing a woman placing a handful of white envelopes in the absentee box outside the government center, according to the time and date stamp, at 6:38 a.m. on Tuesday, September 5th. The Gomes campaign on Saturday releasing an advertisement on social media that includes more municipal security footage. The new footage shows the woman, ostensibly the same woman, inside the lobby of the government center at 5:41 a.m. on September 5th, walking from the direction of the registrar's of voters' office to the front entrance with what appears to be, again, this is just what it looks like here. We're not accusing anybody of anything, but she appears to be carrying more white envelopes. In the next clip, which the advertisement says is between 5:42 a.m. and 5:43 a.m., so a one-minute gap there, the same woman appears to walk from the direction of Broad Street through the front plaza of Government Center to the ballot box while carrying a bag. I'm sorry. This writes itself. She appears to place the white envelopes in the ballot box and then walk away. She's then seen in the video walking through the plaza before returning to place more white envelopes in the box. Now, through a campaign spokesperson, Mayor Joe Ganim saying the content of the video, as well as how the footage was made public, quote, have been referred to the chief of police along with appropriate officials for review and investigation. Gomes, of course, as we've talked about here, losing Tuesday's primary last Tuesday by 251 absentee votes. Now, we are going to have, of course, our buddy, our pal, Lenny Grimaldi will join us in just a bit. We have to have Lenny on more than once a week now because this gets more ludicrous by the minute. Connecticut law restricts who can handle and return and turn in absentee or mail-in ballots to help prevent election fraud. Individuals are allowed to vote absentee under certain conditions. The ballots can be mailed, brought to the town clerk's office, or left in a limited number of drop boxes. So again, let's be careful here, but watch the video if you can. It's not hard to find. And what do you think? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Again, let's be good here. Let's be kind. No names mentioned. We don't exactly know what those white envelopes had in them, but those of us who have, you know, functioning brains with proper blood and oxygen saturation, we can kind of maybe figure what was going on there. But when did... you wonder why, wrongly or correctly, you wonder why Bridgeport gets the reputation it gets. Not for the people. There are thousands of fine people in the city. But for this other stuff, my God. Get back to open phones momentarily at 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Got to check in with, once again, our buddy, our pal, Lenny Grimaldi, only in Bridgeport.com. You know, we usually check in with Lenny once a week on Thursdays, but how do you not? More often on this, as things are changing by the hour, I think. Lenny, what's up? How are you?
I didn't do it.
Have you been advised, has your counsel told you to disavow any knowledge of this? Is that how it works?
That was my Halloween costume.
All right. Okay.
Sorry.
Look, that's all right. No, you had to. Lenny, you're breaking up just a bit. If you could shift position here, try to clear that up. All right, so what do we have now? The cops are looking into who leaked the video. Now, Lenny, Now, as much as the absentee ballot thing is intriguing, the release of the video, I mean, right, this is a municipal video system, so this is a closed system, right?
Well, the first two questions that were asked at the press conference that John Gomes conducted at 2 o'clock were about exactly what you said. So you got multiple investigations going on. You know, and I wrote a column, and I got some blowback that, you know, it's never good for someone who works for the police department to leak information to a campaign. Mm. You know, leak it to me or leak it to you.
Yeah, all right.
And that's, you know, that's a justifiable whistleblower thing, or at least some cover for it. So you have what they call the fusion unit within the police department that monitors the video surveillance to help law enforcement, you know, deal with investigations. So these videos were released to the Gomes campaign, which isn't saying where it came from, understandably. And so the police department, you know, they have some leaks in there, and they're going to want to, you know, plug those up because it's not a good look for the police department either. So there's multiple investigations here. I mean, on the videos on themselves, you know, they're very, very dramatic.
Yeah.
I mean, no doubt about it. And it plays into the narrative of what the John Gomes campaign has been saying about, you know, absentee ballot shenanigans. So what will happen tomorrow, Tuesday,
yeah.
is that the attorney for the John Gomes campaign, Bill Bloss, he's a seasoned election attorney. He's going to file a complaint with the Superior Court in Bridgeport seeking a new primary. Probably will be heard by Barry Stevens. We don't know yet until it's filed. Judge Stevens, you know, he takes his time, right? He's not in a hurry, so he's very thoughtful. This will probably take, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. It could be even longer. You know, Bill Bloss is a really good elections attorney, and so is John Bohannon. He'll be representing the city. He's a deputy city attorney, and John Bohannon usually wins these cases because there's really a high burden to overturn. Now, what could this really, what is the key evidence?
Well, are we approaching, Lenny, that high burden? Because you've told me for weeks, hey, you know, even if it's 400 or 500 ballots, you get, that's ostensibly 400 or 500 reasons. Are we getting closer, Lenny? And I know you were going to get into that now, but I just want to post the question out there. Are we getting closer to something like that or still no?
Great question. It depends what's in that drop box. So we've talked about it. So right now, Joe Ganim has eclipsed John Gomes, his challenger, from last Tuesday by 251 votes. So the big question is, based on this video surveillance that's been leaked, you know, all over social media, is you have these like four different episodes of someone going into this drop box and dropping off ballots. So this moment, the time in question is going to be critical. If there are like a whole bunch, like, you know, if there's hundreds of envelopes in that drop box, it could very well feed into the Gomes narrative. If there's just a couple dozen, you know, or 50, now it's going to really help the city, because the city attorney's office is going to defend the outcome of the vote. If it's not that large, John Bohannon is going to say, well, look, whether this happened or not, it's not going to change the outcome of the election. So we're still dealing with that. Now, meanwhile, the Gomes campaign is still trying to unearth all the reasons to arm Bill Bloss, their attorney, to make a compelling case where, okay, it's just not this, but there's other areas. Now you're going to have a flip side. I think within the next couple of days, you're going to have a little bit of a tit for tat, maybe not as graphic, where the Gannon campaign is probably going to say, well, okay, but are you looking at this stuff that the Gomes campaign has done as well? So I anticipate some complaints will be filed against the other side as well. So it's going to go back and forth, but certainly this is going to go to Superior Court, and we're probably not going to know for, you know, 3 weeks or so if a judge is going to order a new trial or say, I don't have enough to go on.
Yeah, Lenny Grimaldi is the guest, only in Bridgeport.com. But, you know, Lenny, it's interesting, and I was watching some of the streaming coverage courtesy of your website and the link you put up to doingitlocal.com. And you read some of the comments, though, Lenny, and even if everything is on the up and up and there's no major damage here, all you need to do is either read the comments in your column when they're not yelling at you, or the other comments on Fade. You must sit there and laugh at some of this stuff. But there really is, Lenny, and I don't care what city or town it is or what party it is or what race, I think the worst thing you can have in any electoral system is a crisis of confidence. And you yourself pointed it out, other people I've had on here, just the turnout number for the primary back a few days ago may be an indicator of that we don't like to see.
The turnout was anemic. It was pathetic, historically low. And you could argue that, well, you know, this says something about, you know, Joe Gannon's mayoralty. But at the same time, the turnout was so low that the Gomes campaign didn't excite people either.
Sure.
So it was a combination of things. So you go back, you know, back and forth. There's that turnout was, I thought the turnout would be more like 4 years ago in 2019, when you had 10,500 come out.
Yeah, 25%.
Yeah, it was a little higher, and that's kind of how it goes. 2015, Joe Gamm's return, because he excited a lot of people, it was a lot higher. You had, good grief, over 13 to 14,000 voted in that primary. Pretty high for a mayoral primary, but only 8,000, you know, and again, that's not the walk-in vote. So let's do the math. The absentee ballot, the Gamm campaign had about a little over 1,500, and the Gomes campaign had about 800.
Right?
Yeah. What's the math on that? 2,300. So, I mean, that provided a large portion of the turnout. And we've been talking about it for a while. I mean, that the absentee ballots could very well be pivotal in this primary based on the turnout vote because of much higher proportion of ABs. And again, you know, yes, there's a lot of suspicion going on. But again, the state of Connecticut made it a lot easier for people to vote by AV in this process.
I'm just worried about getting sick. Oh, I think I might get sick, so I'm using an AB.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And both sides were able to leverage that. And you go, how come Hartford and New Haven doesn't do it? Well, if the state of Connecticut is going to give a political operative an opening to make it easier for someone to say, I'm not leaving my house, I'll just vote by AB, that's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Yeah. That's the way it is.
Yeah, and like you say, you never really hear about it in New Haven or Hartford. Letty, thanks. Do me a favor. Write another piece tonight so I can, while I'm home having dinner later on and watching football, I can read all the comments of people yelling at you. That always brings
it. I got to pull out all my bandages because I got a lot of wounds here.
Oh, my God. According to everybody who comments on your pieces, you're in both camps. Oh, you're obviously in this camp. No, you're obviously in the other camp. Okay, I don't know. Lenny, I don't know how you do that. You're in both camps at once. It's a miracle. It's good.
I've gotten blood transfusions from both the Gomes and the Gamm campaign. I've got all kinds of blood going there.
There you go. Lenny Grimaldi. Lenny, thanks. We'll check in with you later in the week. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot. Okay.
Appreciate it. There you go. All right. Check it out, folks. Only at Bridgeport.com. Yeah, the comments on Lenny's stuff, sometimes they're the best. Oh, you're obviously in the camp of blank. And then the comment after that, well, you're obviously favoring so-and-so. And what's that old adage? It's kind of like being what they say a good baseball umpire should be. If you're ticking off half the crowd all the time, or all the people 50% of the time, you're kind of doing your job here. All right. And Lenny has put a link at his site for the news conference that ran from a little after 2 o'clock today till after 2:30 about what the Gomes campaign is going to do. Now, this all may be immaterial when you think about it, for the machinations of this, because Mr. Gomes and Mr. Gamm are still going to be on the November ballot. But again, you never miss an opportunity to get your point of view out there. And, you know, like I've been told by my friends who are practicing attorneys, what's one of that old one of the old adages you folks who practice the law say? You never ask a question that you don't know the answer to. All right, coming up in just a bit, I'm going to have some comments. Earlier today, if you were listening to the Lisa Wexler program, which you should, by the way, every day, Melissa in the morning 5 to 10, Lisa 10 to noon, our buddy, our pal Eric Erickson, noon to 2, and then there's me. I come wandering in the door from 2 to 6. The Westport police chief gave a rather lengthy interview to Lisa today about just a horrendous story that's making national news. Resident of Bayberry Lane got carjacked in his own garage. And the police chief telling Lisa and WICC earlier today about the type of suspect they're dealing with now. And he talked about why the chase was broken off up Route 8 for safety reasons. But the chief said something, folks, and we'll get to it later on after the news, top of the hour at 4. The chief said something that I've been saying for years on this program and other programs. over and over and over again. The governor may want one thing, people may want something else, but ultimately it is our legislators. Many of the people that you and I tend to vote for every 2 years in the State House and State Senate, well, you know what? What they think makes for safe streets doesn't necessarily jibe in the end. So we'll hear those comments coming up later on from the police chief in Westport. Chris Caruso joins us now. Chris wanted to call in with a few thoughts as to what we're seeing here. Big story. Who leaked this video ostensibly from the Bridgeport PD to the Gomes campaign? And what do we see on that video? Why is it bad, if it is at all, what we see on that video? Chris, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Paul, how you doing? I know I call in on Fridays, but I just...
You could, you're chopping at the, anything to do with balloting, Chris, I know you must be, well, let me ask you, you see the first video and then you see the videos added onto it. Let's stay away from the police issue about releasing the video for now for a few seconds. What are your feelings on what you've seen on that video that everybody else is looking at as well?
Well, the allegation is that the person in the video was taking ballots and putting them into the ballot box that's there's one in front of City Hall at 999 Broad Street. There's another one at 45 Lyon Terrace. And those were installed as part of COVID.
Yeah.
You remember when people had to vote. So, you know, that's what the allegation is, that this individual plus another City Hall employee were taking ballots that they had, putting them into the ballot box. So that's basically, you know, handfuls of them. And they were doing it at odd hours of the morning, 5:30, 6:30. The person's on the video looking around, I'm sure, to see if anyone is looking. And so they seem suspicious, but they're allegations and they have to be, you know, investigated and proven.
And that's why, Chris, I will not mention her name. I think, out of fairness, I know it's being bounced around. So what is wrong, Chris? Because I've had some callers call in and say, well, what is wrong about what that person or those people are doing as far as a matter of ballot law? Can you explain that?
Yeah, the ballot is comparable, equal to when you go in and vote. You know, the sanctity, the secrecy of the ballot is supposed to be respected, even with the absentee ballot. It's one and the same. It's not like there's two separate types of voting. So it's very clear under election law that an individual who asks for the ballot would execute the ballot and then mail it. And in very rare cases, they could have a care provider, you know, someone, a provider who's helping them at the house could do it. Or it's specific, a nurse or maybe a police officer or someone like that could actually handle the ballot. Anyone else is not supposed to be touching the ballot because, again, you don't know what led up to that. Maybe they actually helped the person execute the ballot, open it up, check off who to vote for. And there's a reason for that because campaign workers are going to be, you know, supporting their candidates. So you don't want them fooling around with the ballots. It skews the election. It frankly defrauds the election when campaign workers are involved with that type of activity. So it's very clear under certain circumstances, if I was elderly and I wasn't able to get to a mailbox or wasn't able to complete it, you know, a healthcare provider could assist me, but it's someone that has to be a healthcare provider, you know, assigned to that individual, or it could be a family member, but a campaign worker in no way has the right to go to a person's home to take the ballot and to mail it or to even look at it. That's, again, it's a very sacred document because it involves the right of a person to vote, which in this country, our right to vote is precious.
And if we do, Chris, have that ostensive need for a health care aide, a home health aide, someone who can only access us, our kids or our relatives are out of town, I would guess, Mr. Caruso, no, I'm not well versed in this as you are, you're probably not going to do that at 5:30 in the morning. That's just my guess. I'm forgive me for going out on a limb here, but the phrase normal business hours tends to flash before my eyes here.
Well, exactly. And, you know, these two individuals who are employees, I don't think they report at 5:30 in the morning for work, unless they're getting overtime. But it's doubtful. And the other thing is, how did they get access to all these ballots? That's the question, mm-hmm. too. That, you know, were they collecting them? Were they visiting people's houses and having them fill it out and then taking it from them? I don't know. And I think that's what the investigation. But there's something deeper than this, Paul. And it's not just the ballot box in front of City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
From what I understand, the state police is now involved with this, the major crime division.
Ooh.
They're involved. You've got state elections enforcement commission involved. You have, from what I understand, there's a meeting that went on with one of the candidates and the state's attorney's office. So you have a lot of law enforcement agencies involved in this. The one that you haven't heard, but give it time and you will, is the FBI, because there are federal offenses to doing this type of activity,
mm-hmm.
Defrauding, you know, election. It's comparable to January 6th. Don't forget, those rioters in January 6th were trying to stop the election by denying the electoral college votes to be cast. This is no different. These are individuals, if they're alleged, but if they're found to be guilty, they conspire to defraud an election within the city of Bridgeport. So they actually defrauded every citizen's right to vote. Because if they were doing something illegally and that affected the outcome of this election, a judge could easily overturn it and say, let's do another election.
Wow.
Not so much based on the number, you know, whether it equals 261 or 251. If he sees widespread abuse by the ballots in other areas, he could say, listen, you know, the rightful outcome has been tainted. And so I order a new election.
Wow.
He could even change the election day for November. So he could set the election day in November later, so a new primary is held in the city of Bridgeport. So, you know, there's a lot of power that a judge has in this, and it's all going to be based on the evidence. But believe me, Paul, it's not going to stop at this ballot box. I bet dollar to donuts the FBI is already involved, because this is a defrauding of the system. This is no different than January 6th with the insurrection. That's how serious this is. And, you know, it's something that needs to be addressed. And I will go further to say that any reasonable thought that if people are found guilty and are convicted, a judge is going to, especially federal, if this goes into federal court, a federal judge is really going to slam the person who's found guilty with a jail sentence to send a message. This is not acceptable. And in Bridgeport, this type of behavior and conduct has been going on for a while. And now it's come to a head with this video. But believe me, these are serious charges. And don't be surprised if it's also on the candidate that's bringing the charges. You know, right now it's based on, you know, workers for Joe Ganim. It could be workers for John Gomes.
Hmm.
Because keep in mind, there was a city councilwoman running on John Gomes' line that entered a person's house looking for the ballot. And the argument that's made there, well, you know, she had the right, she was the person's caretaker. No. She was a candidate for office. She doesn't have the right to be in someone's home looking for the ballot. And then the other argument, well, she never found the ballot. Well, what if she did find the ballot?
Yeah.
And she touched the ballot. See, that's the point. The laws are very clear on this stuff. And so, you know, once the lid is off the jar, it's going to affect everything. And it should. You know,
yeah.
If there is, you know, if there's bad behavior on Ganim's side, that should be exposed. If there's bad behavior on Gomes' side, that should be exposed. So I want to make it clear, this is going to be deeper than we think.
Wow.
And believe me, and it will bring the FBI, which will bring federal charges, tampering with the mail and everything else will be brought into it.
Wow.
And the other thing, Paul, they're not just going to look at the box. They're going to go visit elderly people who apply for applications.
Yeah, Chris, isn't this what they call ballot harvesting, or am I wrong here? Isn't that illegal?
Sure it is. Of course it is. Again, Paul, if I go in the voting machine on election day, like you and I go and vote, that's sacred. That's our right as citizens to vote for people that we ask to represent us. So I go in there. There's an enclosure that I go into that no one sees how I vote. It's the same thing with the absentee ballot. The only thing is it's sent through the mail to the voter's home. So it's sacred in both cases. And that's what's going on. Harvesting is one word. Banking the votes, they call mm-hmm. it, where you're getting all your absentees up front so you know how many people are going to be voting. That's really what happened in this case. there were so many ballots cast that when all was said and done, the absentee ballots outweighed the results of the polling places. And that's where the argument comes in, that is that fair? And of course, if illegal activity is happening, it's not fair, because it's not fair to all the candidates involved. They didn't get a fair shake at, you know, the public coming out, casting their vote and making a decision. So this is very serious. And believe me, you know, when the FBI gets involved and other groups get involved, you're going to see this is going to expand. And they're going to want to set the example with whoever's convicted.
Yeah.
And maybe it's long overdue, Paul. Maybe it's long overdue, but it's really troubling to me. I am concerned about the video release, so I'll just quickly speak.
Yeah,
on
real
that.
Quick. We got about 30 seconds.
Yeah. And here's why. What happens if one of the officers monitoring these videos decide to give the video to a gang member,
let's say,
who's on video, right? So the protocol, the process has to be followed. And if there was wrongdoing, then the police department should have launched the investigation. But putting videos out like that can be very problematic, not only for this, but for other things as well.
Mm.
So that breach may actually extend to other areas as well, you know?
Wow. Chris, great thoughts as always. Keep us up to date. Anything you hear, let me know, okay?
Okay, thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate that. All right, there's a guy who knows the laws, right? Former Democratic state rep and mayoral candidate Chris Caruso. All right, we'll get back to open phones next half hour if you want to chime in with anything on the news of the day. And speaking of the news of the day, here's a guy we like to chat with every Monday to get us going for the week. He watches stuff locally here in Connecticut and also nationally. The local stuff you'll find in the Connecticut News Junkie, ctnewsjunkie.com, and the national stuff. His column is Red Meat for Mushy Moderates on Substack. Go to substack.com. Terry Cowgill is the guest. Terry, good afternoon, sir. It's a Monday. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon to you, Paul. I'm trying to stay dry, and so far I'm succeeding.
You haven't found any loose absentee ballots up in your neck of the woods, have you? Because I'm just checking for the city of Bridgeport. That's...
You know,
boy, Terry, that sigh you just let out, that tells the whole story right there.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because we have an email thread at CT News Junkie in which we bandy about ideas for columns. And I was asking about this because I don't really know what the rules are. But Jonathan Wharton, you probably know him. He's one of our columnists.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's a course professor at
he's a guest.
Southern Connecticut.
He's a guest, yeah.
So he said, I was asking, I said, you know, could the State Elections Enforcement Commission come in and take over the election operations in Bridgeport the way the State Education Department can come in and take over school districts? You know? And nobody really knew the answer to that question. But, the sense is that it probably would be a civil rights issue. It could maybe be done on the federal level. Somebody would have to file a lawsuit and a complaint. This is just outrageous. I mean, I can't even believe that this is living in a state in New England. This is going on here.
Yes, uber blue progressive Connecticut. Yeah, but Terry, thank you for that sigh. I'm going to put that with the highlights of today's show. Terry's sigh is going to be on the podcast.
Okay.
Couple of things to get to, Terry. You and I were kind of banding about on social media with some of the folks on your feed over the weekend. This UAW strike, which is not against every plant, there's no complete shutdown, but... it is interesting as to, Terry, as you pointed out, what's causing this and kind of the twister economics that's at play in this whole thing.
Yeah, I don't, they're correct. The union is correct that the industry is seeing record profits and they're doing well. And that certainly the CEOs are making very high salaries, you know, in the range of $20 million or so a year. But their demands are just so outrageous that they just stopped me in my tracks when I saw what they're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
40% over 4 years, and they want to they want a 35-hour work week, but they want to be paid as if they were working 40.
Must be nice.
Okay, according to the auto industry, that would add another 20% to the compensation package. Then they want defined benefit pensions. which is one of the things that brought down the auto industry in the first place back in the 70s and then later when they were having problems as well. So they're starting from, you know, and I understand how these negotiations work. You come in high and you meet somewhere in the middle.
Sure, yeah.
But they're starting so high, it's almost like it's putting in an atmosphere of ill will from the beginning. And that's never – they ought to be more realistic, I think, in their demands. But they're pretty set in it so far, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And Terry, you know, and they're – now, granted, they're worried about the future and the phasing out gradually, we would hope, of internal combustion engines to EVs. But EVs, Terry, are brutally expensive. And the other thing with this whole scenario here is that, you know, you've got some other companies, Tesla may, you know, that everybody's worried about saying, well, you know, they're not unionized. So they're kind of sitting there licking their chops. And I've read where they're already attempting to lower prices here.
Yeah. So if you're Ford or GM or whatever Chrysler is called now, I can't even remember.
Stellantis.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. and then, you know, you're trying to produce EVs, and the federal government is twisting your arm, by the way, to do that.
Oh.
Then you have to compete. Then you're paying your employees all this, so much more money than Tesla and the other non-union shops are. And then you're trying to sell them at a competitive price. I don't know how you do that, you know. And so I think that they've got to come down, obviously, in their demands. But this is, you know, I still think they'll meet somewhere
sure.
in between. The writers and actors strike is a completely different thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And I can weigh in on that, too, just briefly.
Yeah.
As I said, the auto industry is experiencing record profits. They're doing very well. The entertainment industry, not so much because of, you know, the intervention of streaming. And the dying off of cable television and the reduction in the carriage fees that these companies are able to charge when they get onto cable. The future for the entertainment industry and television and movies is very unstable at this point. So, whereas the auto industry is coming in at the right moment to strike, I believe the writers and actors have picked exactly the wrong moment.
Mm.
And cracks have already started to develop. You saw Bill Maher and Drew Barrymore saying they were going to go ahead with their shows anyway. Now, apparently, they're backtracking a little bit on that. I assume they've been feeling a lot of heat. But you couldn't get two strikes more different than these two.
Absolutely. And just before we move on to something else, you know, it's interesting you mentioned $20 million, $25 million for these CEOs. You know, perspective is everything, Terry. Yeah, Mary Barra's begging $20, $25 million. That's a backup point guard in the NBA. Or that's a number three starter on your favorite baseball team. We've got $20 million left. Let's get a number three starter in there. But I digress. Two other things here, Terry. You wrote an interesting piece regarding what Michelle Lujan Grisham did in New Mexico for, the suspension, I guess, of gun rights, where even her local sheriffs, Terry, are saying, nah, not happening.
Yeah, I this is just baffling. I understand that she has an emergency on her hand. They do have a real murder epidemic in Albuquerque, including this murder of an 11-year-old boy and that really tugged at a lot of heartstrings. But I don't know what she was thinking or which lawyers she ran this by before she issued this what she called an emergency public health order suspending for 30 days. The rights of residents to carry firearms in Albuquerque. And I think she probably thought, I'm guessing anyway, that it wasn't a violation of the Constitution because of the fact that it was temporary and it did not, she was not going to send the police around to people's homes confiscating guns.
Mm.
That's probably what she thought. But she got criticism from left and right on this, including, I believe I read somewhere, that our own Chris Murphy said he did not think that it was constitutional. So, and you know how passionate he is about gun control.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terry, finally, I sent you a story because I know that you mentioned this before. And Mr. Cowgill, you are correct. We are now reaching critical mass on tipping to the point where even now some of the networks are weighing in on this.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? People, you know, after a while, you know, you can only go to the well so many times. But the thing that I whenever I went to a restaurant or something, I was a pretty good tipper. I wasn't outrageous or anything like that. And you know, the cab guy, the bellhop, you know, anything like that, this traditional tipping. But, man, to get up to be expected to tip somebody who's not waiting on you, really, who's somebody who's at the cash register. And then you have this awkward moment where the tip thing comes up on the screen and the person that you might be tipping can see you.
Sure.
No.
Sure.
And then you're embarrassed.
Because because they slid a cup of coffee toward you. I mean, come on, really, honestly, listen, you know.
Yeah, I know. You know, I would much rather see, you know, these servers and people paid a decent wage and to just get rid of tipping altogether. I mean, when I went to Korea, I spent 2 weeks there where I took my kids there. My kids were both born in Korea. We took them back. And we were told by our tour guide that Koreans do not accept tips, and that they would be offended if you offered them to them.
Wow.
So, many other cultures, that you just don't tip. But for some reason, we do it here a lot, and it makes for a very unstable revenue stream for the workers because they never know. You know, if you get a spate of bad tippers, you know, one night in a restaurant, it could practically wipe you out for the whole night.
Absolutely. Terry, thank you. We'll check in with you next Monday. Now, you've got my phone number here and you've got my email, obviously. If you find any loose absentee ballots where you are, just let me know. All right. Just let me know and we'll figure out how to turn them in. OK.
All right. I'm disabling my shredder.
Thanks, Terry. Take care. All right, there's Terry Cowgill. Check him out, the Connecticut News Junkie, ctnewsjunkie.com. He's also disabled his shredder and his national column at substack.com. Yeah, I was referring to a piece I'd sent Terry over the last week, and this is not coming from me or some right-wing, you know, conservative side. This is from NBC News, CNBC. Tipping in restaurants falls for the first time in years, and they're blaming something Terry talked about previously, tip fatigue. Stop asking me for a tip when I pay with a card if all you've done is slid a cup of coffee toward me. It's different if it's me and four other people, and we were running you ragged with drinks and food orders. That's not the same as if I buy a $3 cup of coffee and you ask me to tip. Stop doing that.